All right, folks, another entertainment segment. I'm with Rosangel Perez. I almost said it white there, huh? Perez. Rosangel Perez. And I got to say, we picked out, you know, we try to pick out the really, not so much trending topics, but things that have to do with what's happening behind the scenes, what I feel is going on behind the scenes, things that need a closer look. And, folks, you got to stay tuned because soon we're going to be doing a whole deep dive on Lady Gaga. And this one's really dark. Lady Gaga is going to be really dark. I'm very excited about that episode because we're going to bring a lot of things to light. First of all, Rosangel, thank you for joining me.
It's good to be back with your audience. This is where we're living in this land. But I'm here with our rubber chicken. He's still very patriotic and he says hello and welcome to the world of entertainment where we're in the rubber chicken world, because that's sort of, even the rubber chicken has made it into the presidential campaign. Like, we are living in a very weird society right now, so we gotta laugh.
It's like what people used to do back in the day, like go to the circus tent to watch the freak show or the mutants. It's like they've all escaped and they're running wild and they're running the asylum now. That's basically the best way to explain it. The crazy people are in charge of the country. They're in charge of the asylum now. They're not the patients anymore. They're running it.
Absolutely. And when we start, you know, your platform is amazing at this because you're always bringing people with all this different insights and perspectives. And we're creating like a bigger picture and fuller picture the more we start understanding how all of these things are interconnected and how weaponized entertainment really is, the way it has captured the audiences, our audiences, our gente. And here we are in this fight to reach out and help to, you know, make some of these connections and also sort of even ask more questions. And with your help and the audience help, we'll be able to even see a bigger picture here. It seems like something big is about to happen. A lot of people around me are having dreams. We're starting to see old celebrities that were sort of retired come back into the limelight. We're starting to see like a full circle, like highs, and then we're seeing like the lows. We're seeing the worst. We're seeing what seems to be a bunch of humiliation rituals of celebrities one after the other. Is this something that has been contrived? Is this part of a theater to help people, you know, integrate what's really happening, and also to understand that, like I said, entertainment is not necessarily benign. It has been weaponized and it has come into our most sacred places. And so this is why we're here trying to shed light to it. And you make your own decision on what to do with that information.
Right. We just want to like show you of, you know, what's happening behind the scenes, what we think is happening. You know, there is a political war going on, a culture war going on. But most importantly, folks, if you're on my channel, you know this is a spiritual war that's happening. That's where I'm going with all this. At the core of all of this, there are demonic forces on this planet, in this world. There are supernatural things that are happening. There are the paranormal is it's so obvious now to see it anywhere you look. It's just seeping out of every genre, you know, in the entertainment world, the sporting world, the political realm. It's all, everyone's fighting with each other and it's taking hold and it's good versus evil and everything's being exposed. I think this is Revelations. I think we're living in it. We are in the apocalypse. Let's start first with, there's a documentary that's out, I Am Celine Dion. And I was watching this and although it's very interesting, the like a splinter in my mind, something kept bothering me. Like, how did this happen? Now, my mind went straight to this, right? Everyone knows what happened in 2020. Everyone out and got these. She has stiff person syndrome. But I go even deeper than that. I think to myself, what did she do? I'm not saying she deserved it. I'm not even going in that direction. But I'm kind of, you know, there is a spiritual war happening in my mind. And I have to look at all sides of everything. I don't leave any stone unturned. So I'm going to go ahead and share the screen here for a second, Rosangel. And I'm going to show her documentary or parts of it. I'm going to play a video here of Celine Dion. As you can see, here she is curled up in a ball on Inside Edition. Here she is. I mean, I feel very sorry for her. My prayers go out to her first and foremost. I don't wish this upon anybody, but I'm going to go ahead and play this just for a moment.
But Celine Dion wants her fans to see what she's enduring. The beloved singer suffers from stiff person syndrome. She was at her doctor's for a checkup when a seizure swept over her. She tried to laugh it off when she felt the first signs in her fingers. Soon, she was in the full throes of a medical emergency.
Brian, I need you right now. She's in a crisis.
So, as we're watching this, this happens to her consistently, right? This is like something that just, and this is how she says she lost her voice. So, the thing that made her so famous, one of the most beautiful voices anybody's ever heard, is gone now. She can't hit certain notes, correct?
Yeah, once these the spasms start, according to the reports that I've been reading, it can start from a place in her body and all of a sudden it just like takes over. And I think that's sort of like what we're seeing that happened in the manifestation as they were recording her I Am documentary. And something that's curious to me, and I don't know about how you feel about this, and I really feel like called BS on this. I don't know many people who would want the camera to be shining a light on their most painful moments, especially if you've been in the limelight in a carefully cultivated way, right? Where you're so big that every aspect of your life is curated and just put together and examined by a huge team of people. So I don't know. This
maybe
is a question mark that I have.
Maybe to her, she's such a narcissist that, you know, let's really think about this. Maybe she just loved the attention no matter what it is. You know, that could be a huge thing here.
Yeah, right? One, two, three. She might be in spasm.
Yeah.
So then you're okay. You're okay, Celine.
You're good.
The harrowing scenes are part of her new documentary on Amazon Prime, I Am Celine Dion, which starts streaming today. She's given a sedative in her nasal passages.
Like, I'm not going to say this isn't sad, right? It's hard to watch. It's very sad. But the name of her documentary is I Am Celine Dion, and she used to, you know, she would make commercials about that. I am Celine Dion, you know, and look, she's had some hard trials and tribulations in her life. She lost her boyfriend or her husband, actually. That's who it was her husband. There's a lot of things that's happened to this lady. We all have trials and tribulations. Every single one of us have our own story. But there's something that sticks out to me that I don't know, Rosangela, and it was that commercial she did on a children's line, right? It was a children's clothing line. Am I right in saying that?
Mm-hmm. It was a collaboration with Nunu, which with her, it was called Celine Nunu. This was about 5 years ago, and this is the commercial about it. And it's really weird. And if you see what's happening today with all the woke and all of the fighting that's happening and the parental rights that are being challenged in many states in the United States, this sort of like is not just a commercial.
Right. It's a lot of propaganda. And I got to say, folks, you know, this happened before she got sick, right, Rosangel?
Yes. I mean, look at how when you see her in the video, she looks great.
Right. So in other words, so this came first. Okay. So let's just put that in perspective. To me, she's clearly selling out. God gave her a beautiful voice. God gave her what she had, and then she turned around and makes a commercial like this. I find it to be very disturbing. I'm going to go ahead and play it right now.
It's okay. It's okay. I'm Celine Dion.
A lot of pride in her, huh? I am Celine Dion.
Our children. They are not really our children. as we are all just links in a never-ending chain that is life. For us...
What does she mean they're not really our children? See, that right there sends a very powerful message. And the fact that this is all done in a greenish, grayish tint and black, they're not really...
This is propaganda, right. And so I don't know if I've shared this with your community, but something that my sister and I are very focused on in our activism here locally is children's wellness and health. And we do a lot of like news coverage on that. And this is complete propaganda. And let's continue watching.
They are everything. But in reality, we are only a fraction of their universe. We miss the past. They dream of tomorrow. We may thrust them forward into the future, but the course will always be theirs to choose.
Gosh, this is so dark. This is so, so dark. This is
so,
so
that creepy demonic little stuffed animal there.
Where?
That on the side of the screen in the far right. It's like you gotta watch the commercial. I missed it a whole bunch of times, but it's right there in the screen, like that you see when she walks in, you see all of the babies go from pink and blue outfits to, you know, gender neutral.
Let's play it again. I'll play that again.
Yeah.
Dream of tomorrow. We may thrust them forward into the future, but the course will always be theirs to choose. I can't believe they called security. I mean, oh, come.
Is it like she's casting a spell on them? I mean, this is really some dark stuff, man.
Yes. And so when she walks into the room, notice that the kids are in, you know, blue and pink. And on the walls, you see the symbol for boy and girl. And when she takes her magic dust, which is black, you know, there's a lot of symbolism as to this black little like particles that are flying that she blows into the children. And then the room goes from those pastel pink and blue to neutral gray, dark tones. And there are no signs in the back of her that indicate boy or girl. It's this
like
cross.
A general neutral type.
Yes. And then there's like this little demon stuffed animal at the corner when she's walking into the room.
Show me where that is. Here, I'm going to play it again.
But in reality, we are only a fraction of their universe. We miss the past. They dream of tomorrow. We may thrust them forward into the future, but the course will always be theirs to choose.
Pause it. A few frames back. Yeah, it's this creepy.
There it is.
Right there.
This right here?
Yup.
Wow. What the hell, man? Yeah. What? And then right here, too.
Yeah, what is that? And then did you see one of the outfits? She's doing her job, you know?
Yeah, she's been activated.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're 100% right. Wow, this is so creepy. Anyway, this is what I'm leading to. So, something like this does, in my mind, you know, if you received your gift from God and you go back and you turn on I'm just going to say it for my audience. If you turn your back on the creator, something like this, look at these little demonic, look at this. What is that? You see that? Can you see what I'm circling?
Yeah.
And then one here.
That's
and
like
this is something
made out of children's nightmares.
I can't believe they called security. I mean,
Oh, come on, I'm Celine Dion. I'm not spending the night in jail. Holy shit.
Relax, easy. I'm Celine Dion. Yeah.
Ugh, it makes me want to barf. It really makes me want to throw up. Just how full of ugh.
Now, but how here's what's funny though. She just says, "I'm Celine Dion," and the person arresting her says, "Yeah, girl, I'm Beyonce." Doesn't that remind you of the Justin Timberlake little arrest? That one of the stories, it was that the young officer did not know who he was arresting.
I'm Celine Dion.
Yeah, girl, and I'm Beyonce.
I'm calling my agent.
Jeez, man. Oh, boy. Boy. Man, that's.
Look, I don't know anything about this brand new, but then, you know, new, three syllables. I don't know if that's alluding to something.
But let's fast forward to where she's at right now.
It's hard to watch. But Celine Dion wants her fans to see what she's enduring. The beloved singer suffers from...
I don't know, man. You don't mess with God's children. That's the way I say it. That's the way I see it now. Like I said, folks, you may agree with me or not. That's fine. That's fine. This is just my opinion. This whole segment is just opinion.
But this has consequences. This maybe is something that we'll do because this requires much research too, as the amount of celebrities that have children that, you know, Charlize Theron started calling her 3-year-old by the opposite sex because, yeah, you know, so, you know, look at to how many stars, there was a trend at too many of them who couldn't conceive, and then there was this big trend. I remember just hearing about it. When you're in the entertainment business, you just hear gossip that you don't even want to know.
Yeah, and it's getting really dark now, isn't it? I mean, if you go to any Madonna concert, it's now basically a ritual. You know, the Travis Scott, all of them. I mean, this is real. I think people are starting to finally realize, like, wait a minute, could it be that we really are in a spiritual war? Like, is that really a lot of people that would just dismiss that as like a bunch of, you know, conspiracy really, or garbage, whatever they want to do. They would just toss it to the side and say, ah, I don't believe in that stuff. It's all old scripture. That's archaic. You know, you believe in that. That's thousands of years old. No, man. I mean, it's what's happening right now is undeniable for everyone to see.
Well, I'd like to share a little insight, right? Because my sister and I, we had a metaphysical business for over 10 years, at least a brick and mortar. And now we're sort of in a transition, but the focus has been really this sort of mystical, spiritual wellness conversations. And when you have that type of atmosphere that you cultivate, you invite a lot of amazing people to just open up some world of insights for you. And one thing that, you know how we're saying that we've seen we see clearly what seems like holistic and wholesome about a concert, and then we've seen what feels now like a satanic ritual. And now when we look back, right, as we're doing, and we're gonna see some of this when we dive into Lady Gaga and see some of those clips where were they doing rituals in front of our face all along? Were these music videos, the moment they started being portrayed on TV, was there already an element of a ritual there to entice you? Don't forget that there was a big revolution from, you know how they say that TV killed the radio star?
Yeah, video killed the radio star.
Right,
yeah,
right. Yeah. Thank you for the correction.
Yeah, that was video killed the radio star.
Yeah, and then, like, you know, one of the biggest critiques that I would hear working inside at the MTV networks on the building and family, right, was, hey, how come you guys are saying your music, but you're creating more content that's not music. You're
like reality
steering
TV.
Away. We're reality. We sort of gave birth to reality TV where people, and then we also fed that narcissism. And then you think about like all the videos too that were portrayed of young people who want to get a surgery. Now all of a sudden it's so commonplace.
Now it's trans surgery. Now it's that's who they. But yeah, it started off nose jobs.
And all of these things have roots in places like MTV and all of those channels that were sort of pioneers, or and then maybe something fresh. And because I know a lot of amazing people that I worked with in those industry settings. But as always, something always wants to corrupt. Right now, I can tell you from being in that industry that I felt the most sinister transition after 9/11. Like, I can tell you, like, being in the, like, before 9/11 and after and being in that industry, it just didn't feel right. Who we were reporting to, we weren't reporting to a creative line. We were reporting to finance. It was all about the money. It was all about creating cookie cutter things. Then you see young people, fresh eyed in the industry, starting at the back end as VJs. And all of a sudden, a few years later, they have all these enhancements, all these fake things in their body, boy and women. But they don't seem any more happier than just the regular person who's just trying to live day to day.
Surface level. Yeah. And I remember the 90s, man, was really big on Jerry Springer. It was like the internet before the internet. They got Jerry Springer. You had reality TV. Remember The Real World? That's when it all really started going in that direction. It was like the internet before the internet. Now, there's no point for reality TV. I don't even know why people even watch it. You could just swipe your thumb now on Instagram and see the most hellacious, crazy, chaotic shit you ever could imagine just by every day. I remember when VHS was big, we used to get the ban from television or the Faces of Death VHSs and watch those, and we'd all be like freaked out of our mind. Now we are so numb in society that just with a swipe of a thumb, you're like, oh, shark attack. Oh, someone got hit by a train. Oh, you know, someone just a motorcycle accident. We are completely desensitized. I mean, on everything. And I think that was all done on purpose.
I agree. When Games of Thrones was like big and trendy, and I remember I got sucked in, but then there was like each season got darker and more violent, and you're like, why is this happening in every industry? This darkness, this Satanism, this enticement of do what you want and no consequences.
Here it says, Celine Dion. This is the last video I'll show on her, but the weird clothing line.
Really scary.
He's going to tell us this new gender neutral clothing line.
Yes.
Singer Celine Dion, let them have those things.
Yes.
Is pushing. No one that gets that joke except us, but
okay.
What's going on?
This line is called Celine Nunu. I swear to God.
What?
That's it. Celine Nunu. And this is the website. It says to liberate children from the traditional roles of boy and girl. It's to amplify the discussion about a humanistic education, which is gender free. She rolled out this new fashion line, and it's in conjunction with an Israeli fashion line, with this very bizarre ad. Ooh. She walks into a maternity ward, blows glitter around the room. All the boys are in blue. The girls are in pink. Not after she does her magic, and then in
so there you go, there it is. I mean, there you go, there you have
it's
it.
Disturbing. I mean, like, but then the
you
thing
don't
is that
mess with God's children. You that's the no.
I agree
that's
with
the
you.
Big no. It what does it say? You're better off with a millstone around your neck cast into the ocean. Whatever it says in scripture, someone correct me on that. Someone could read that up, but you don't mess with children.
And they are messing with the children because, you know, a lot of this agenda has creeped in to the education system. Right.
And
this
is
why.
And I keep going back to this, but.
Yeah, it's a horrified look.
It's hard to watch. But Celine Dion wants her fans to see what she's enduring.
I don't know. Folks, you give me your opinion on this. I'm not going to. I have my opinion, obviously. I believe this is a spiritual war, and children are the prize, in my opinion. And children, you know, our souls and children, they don't even have a fighting chance, you know, and You just don't mess with God's creation, man. I don't know. That's just my opinion. I'm going to leave it at that with that. Let's go to the next topic. You ready for the next topic, Rosangela? You have something to say?
Oh, the only thing I was going to say is that one of the things that motivates me to cover these topics coming from the industry is that I believe in creativity of all forms, and I love music. I love independent music, and I love to hear young people in their artistry. I mean, people of all ages, and I want people not to feel discouraged by the state of the industry. We're creating a new way.
Correct. And here, let's go to Matthew Perry. So he was, I heard, a ravaging, like, I heard, a really bad alcoholic. You know, I heard he made Ben Affleck look like a schoolboy. But I thought he just passed away from natural causes. Now they've opened up and you know, from alcoholism. But now they're opening up an investigation, correct?
Yes, they are. Or maybe the investigation has already been underway. But you know what? I remember when the death was first reported, if I'm not mistaken, his ex-girlfriend said something that stayed in my mind, which was that she did not believe that this was the way he passed away, because she was questioning that he would die just in his favorite place, in the bathtub, in that area, not the bathtub, the pool. Which was one of his favorite places. I think it was his little nook. And you'll see the reports as to why this became more questionable.
On potential charges in the death of actor Matthew Perry, a law enforcement source familiar with the investigation into how he obtained the ketamine that contributed to his death, telling NBC News several people who supplied Perry with the drug could face federal charges.
I know people that are doing ketamine, and they look at it as a therapy. They're all under the belief that it's a therapeutic drug. It cures depression, cures grief or anxiety, things like that. Man, all you need is God, man.
Perry was found unresponsive in a hot tub at his Pacific Palisades home last October. The LA County Medical Examiner's Office says he died from the acute effects of ketamine, a powerful anesthetic approved by the FDA to treat depression under doctor supervision. But
now, ketamine is all over the black market. It's everywhere. You can go to any city. I have friends that are like pharmacies that just take this stuff because they believe it's helping them with their depression. Because of the FDA approving this for to treat depression, people are getting it themselves. They don't go to a doctor. Have you heard about this?
I've heard about it with this and with other, you know, overuse prescription drugs that people now use for recreational purposes. And, you know, it's...
See, I almost feel like doctors are being used to hook people on pain pills and things like that and drugs like this, and then they have a certain length of time they can prescribe it, and they get you hooked, and then you're off it, then you go to the black market and you get fentanyl. I think that's the cycle. I think that's what they're doing, and I'm not saying the doctors are at fault. They have no say in this. I'm just saying that's kind of like what I see happening here. People go from ketamine, they get it prescribed for depression, they get whatever opiates prescribed for pain, and the next thing you know, they can't get them anymore. They're already hooked, and then they go to the streets.
One that can also be used recreationally. The autopsy report states Perry was on ketamine infusion therapy for depression and anxiety, something the actor described in his 2022 memoir.
Ketamine felt like a giant exhale.
But the autopsy report says the ketamine in his system could not have been from his last therapy session, which was a week and a half before he died.
So you constantly want to keep feeling this. I have friends that take this stuff every day. I mean, it's absolute insanity.
Saying the level found in his blood was equivalent to the amount used for general anesthesia. Perry had always been open about his long struggle with addiction.
It wants you sick. And then it wants to kill you.
Perry rose to TV superstardom on the hit 90s sitcom.
You know, like I said, ketamine's a real deal, man. I mean, a lot of people, I don't know if he was mixing it with alcohol. if people know my story, I've done ketamine, I've done it all, and I was doing everything while I was drinking. So I have overdosed. I flatlined. They had to bring me back with a defibrillator. Went into cardiac arrest from a drug overdose. So I've had my share with drugs, and this is something I hold very deep to my heart. Somehow I survived. Somehow I'm still here. I'm on bonus time, and I can speak on this because I know what it feels like to overdose. I've done it. I've been there. They found him in his tub, correct?
Yeah, you know, I just want to say that that's powerful that you overcame that journey. What was the reason that was there a moment for you that you were like, oh no, I'm gonna beat this. I'm gonna choose a different choice today.
Well, I'm 4.5 years sober now, but back then I was under a lot of pressure with boxing. I had a lot of expectations on me. I had no doubt. There's a lot of haters out there, but I had Ryan Garcia type talent, but as a heavyweight, probably a better, I had speed and power that was second to none. I mean, I was just destroying everybody. In fact, it got to the point that I was getting so many first round knockouts. It was unbelievable. And I just couldn't deal with the pressure. Too much was given to me. I was drinking. I couldn't, every time I won a fight, I had to do better in the next fight. And how do you do better than a first round knockout, third round knockout, second round knockout, first round knockout? I couldn't. The expectations were just mounting on me, and I snapped, and I was looking to drugs and alcohol to relieve the pain, to take me out of my mind a little bit, and that's how I fell into it. So, and then after that, I came back, I got knifed in the throat the same year, lost 2 pints of blood with that. So twice in a year, this happened to me, and then I came back and had complete and utter darkness for 10 years, to where I finally turned my life around, but. Yeah, I can definitely speak on addiction, and I can definitely speak on, I was murdered. I was, they tried to murder me. So, there's a lot that I can speak on, but listening to something
that's
like
scary. That's so scary.
Yeah. And so I'm here,
and this makes it, and then this gives you a couple of like superpowers right now, because you can see through the bullshit much more clearly, and the fighter's instinct must be so much stronger in you right now.
Yeah, it does feel like that. I do feel like I'm here for a reason, and I want to wake people up, and I'm going to air out my own dirty laundry. That's why I wrote the book, When the Lights Go Out, because that was cathartic for me to write it and also therapeutic. But it was when I see things like this, when I see someone fall victim to an overdose and know that I was there too. It's not like I, people say I overcame it. Folks, I overdosed. I was brought back for a defibrillator for whatever reason. So I didn't overcome it. I should be gone today. I should be 13 years gone. So let's go ahead and play this right here.
Investigation into the death of Matthew Perry takes a turn, and it allegedly involves the ex-wife of another A-lister. When the Friends actor died in October 2023, many people were concerned that substance abuse might have played a role, given his past addiction issues.
I'm a drug addict. I'm a person that if I have a drink, I can't stop.
However, it looked like Perry's drowning in his hot tub at his home in Los Angeles was just an accident, and that's exactly what the Los Angeles County Medical Examiner said. And yet, Perry's autopsy also led to some unanswered questions, especially due to high levels of ketamine present in his blood.
So are they saying those who supplied him with ketamine are responsible for his death?
So that's the big bochinche. We already know that he was taking ketamine, but apparently what was found in his system was enough for general anesthesia. So who gave that to him? Now they are
tracing. Wasn't that the same type of thing Michael Jackson died from? I mean, and Prince, I mean, they all take these powerful sedatives, right? That just... You know what that is? I'm telling you, that's pain. That's called pain. They're finding alternative ways to deal with pain. The common denominator here is emotional or physical, mental, whatever pain you're in, you turn to these type of drugs to relieve it. And then you take it on upon yourself. You start believing you can handle it yourself. You take it upon yourself, like, ah, I know what I'm doing. I've done this so many times. I know how much to take. I'll take a little more this time because the effect's wearing off. And you start self-medicating like you're the doctor.
Mr. Perry had 10 times the amount of ketamine that we give in the clinic.
While it's true that Perry had been undergoing ketamine infusion therapy at the time, used to treat a host of disorders like depression, anxiety, PTSD, and more, ketamine only lives in the body for 3 to 4 hours. Perry's last treatment was a week and a half before his death. Fast forward to June 2024, when the Los Angeles Times reported that several people have been linked to procurement of the ketamine Perry had in his system, and federal and local prosecutors will ultimately decide if charges against those people will ever be filed. None of those people have been publicly identified, but In Touch, in their July 1st cover story, claimed Charlie Sheen's ex-wife, actor Brooke Mueller, has been questioned multiple times by the police. An insider told the tabloid.
So they're saying what, she supplied him with this? I'm hearing this is going around Hollywood a lot, okay? So that's my thought. I know people that are on this stuff, and they're like, and they look at me like, oh, you just, whatever, you don't know what you're talking about. It's totally effective. Doctors prescribe it all the time. That's the denial. That's like, that's to me, like, that's how I was. I know what I'm doing. I could take 5 Vicodin and some GHB, and I could take some Molly. Don't worry about me. I could take an Adderall. And then I died. You know what I mean? All because I misjudged, all because I thought I could take it. This is what's happening right now. Everyone thinks they can self-medicate. They can medicate themselves. And this is where, like, this is where the doctors come in. The talk. This is why I look at doctors, because the doctors start you off on this. They start you off on this, and then they stop, and then you have to go and find it yourself. And you go to friends, and oh, I got a friend that pushes this stuff. I know where to get it. Then you get on it, and then you, next thing you know, you're strung out on the streets, and then you just die in an alley somewhere. Listen, I was in the club when I died. The bouncers pulled me out and threw me in the alley. Okay. Like 9 hours of my life. I don't even remember, but this
wow,
is a
that
huge
is so
problem.
Scary.
She's hired lawyers and has had multiple meetings with law enforcement. She's being tight-lipped about the situation. It's tough to say or know exactly what her role is in Perry's death, but she's adamant she had nothing to do with that. Perry and Mueller reportedly met in rehab and were friends. She wasn't handcuffed or put under arrest when cops first visited her sober living residence in May, according to In Touch. But they did seize an iPhone and a laptop. So in between his ketamine infusion therapy sessions, did Perry get some extra non-prescription ketamine from an unknown source? Someone else may have obtained the ketamine that led to his death. Someone else may have sold it to him, or maybe sent it to him. Hence the LAPD statement that it's looking to charge multiple people with some crime or another.
Jeez, man. Wow.
Yeah, it could be what you said. It's, you know, some people have access to certain supplies, and you're in a certain community of friends or like-minded people, and you're like, oh, I got a hookup. I mean, who doesn't have a hookup to something in different avenues, right? And look, coming from the industry that I was a part of for over a decade, you can see why certain people were influenced a certain way, because the amount of access you have to substances when you are in certain environments, depending on who you are, it can be very tempting, you know. And as some people want to always shape it as a conspiracy that people were forced to do something, and maybe some people were strongly suggested, like, that's some of my suspicions with some of these artists. Like, I think you might be having a breakdown. Do you want to go to that special place? I think that some of that gaslighting is happening, because I'm also seeing that sort of language seep in again to the education system, to people relating to into politics, that little gaslighting, patronizing language. I know you don't want to really say that word, right? Because we might put you in hate speech jail. Like, this is where all this is leading to, to tell you what to wear, to show you that little kids in that video with the nu, they look like little gangsters. They look like they were little jailbirds. They look to me like tiny future bullies that we see in the street all over the cities in the United States.
They're not our children. That's like taking the family out of it. That's like saying, let the government have their way. Let them raise their, you know, this is so dark, man. People don't realize just how dark this is. And this whole ketamine thing that's happening in Hollywood right now is taking hold, and it's on fire, man. I'm hearing a lot of people are doing this stuff to overcome depression and this and that. For me, look, I stopped cold turkey on everything, and I can speak on this. I've overdosed, folks. I've done it. Okay. I'm just saying that all you need is God. That's really, and that's how I'm getting over what I have now. It's just, it's hard, but it's difficult at times, but I'm not trying to check into a ketamine clinic to like, well, I'm not drinking anymore. I'm not doing these drugs anymore. I need to have a little something. Nah, I just, you know, and people tell me, go ahead.
No, you know, I heard one time a doctor saying that so many people are addicted to something. It doesn't necessarily have to be with a substance that is quote unquote like an illegal street drug or prescription. But as a collective, if we take the shame and embarrassment out of this, we can create more healing in ourselves. Like, it's okay. We all fall into dark places, and sometimes it's breath by breath, but you know, we want you to feel encouraged as well as you're tuning into what we're sharing with you in our findings. So, yeah, this is, you know, Rob Schneider, who has been, I guess, on the naughty comedian list lately, blasting Will Smith in a radio rant.
I think Will Smith is under a lot of stress and pressure. Obviously, he's breaking. I think that's what that whole slap was with Chris Rock. I have my theories about this. I think he knows the vice grips are closing in on him. And we're watching people in Hollywood, just like in the political arena. People right now in Hollywood are breaking. And I feel that there's going to be a lot of politicians in these next 5 months, folks, 5 to 8 months. Let's say 5 to 8 months. A lot of politicians and a lot of celebrities are going to be trying like hell to leave the country. Mark my words. They're going to try to get the hell out of here because they don't want what's coming. But there's going to be no place they can go. Let's hear what Rob Schneider has to say here.
The slap? Because he's your mate.
Yeah.
I would have been straight on the phone if it was my mate getting slapped.
No, but I was in a sticky situation because I was actually, you know, an elected official of the union at the time.
Oh.
Will Smith is a twat.
Oh, I liked him.
Will Smith has been hiding the fact of who he really is, and it was exposed that night. He's really an asshole. But he's a deep, dark thing. To do that in front of all those people and to a really great, legendary comedian who's literally the best.
Oh, he's friends with that comedian. It was Chris Rock, right, that he slapped?
Mm-hmm.
Man, just embarrassed him in front of now billions of people.
Comedian of our generation.
Sure.
You wouldn't have, like, this whole wave of comedy that came after if it wasn't for Chris Rock. He's kicked open the doors. Well, so for him to do that, but I wasn't allowed to say anything at that time because we were part of the committee.
Right.
I was supposed to punish him.
And how do you punish
him? Wait. Just back up a second. Hang on.
I want to know
Will
what punishment
Smith is like, for me, when I met him, right, I always say,
like, the nicest, most wonderful. He's a liar. Complete, utter fraud.
Really?
It was exposed in that time.
Okay, we all thought in that time, oh, he was under all this pressure, though.
I've
been under pressure. Kyle's been under pressure. You've been under pressure.
Interesting you say that about Will.
No, Will is a douchebag, and that's something that you can't. The thing is, that's how politically correct the Academy is.
Right.
That they were so.
Wow. Man, this guy. But have you noticed more and more celebrities are coming out and saying, man, I don't care anymore. I'm going to say what I want to say. People are like really picking up arms. They're picking up their shield, their sword and shield, and really deciding to fight back because they're getting sick of this PC crap, this woke crap.
So cowardly. Because if I would have done that, they would have been hauled out to prison. But because, like, they were so worried about being, you know, racist or whatever, they were like, we can't be. The point is, violence is what it is. And whether what the color of your skin or your religion doesn't matter.
Sure.
If you commit a crime in front of other people, you get hauled out of there.
Yeah, but didn't you also sort of think, oh, he's standing up for his missus? You didn't like that?
It doesn't matter. You can't hit another dude.
100%.
And then a smack is like one of the most humiliating ways.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That's like That's like telling people, like, you're not even a man enough to take a punch from me. I'm going to smack you. I'm going to degrade you. And you know what? You haven't really seen Chris Rock much in the news after that or, like, doing anything. He's, I think he tried to bounce back with a comedy special, but that slap, that smack ruined his life.
Yeah, they called it the smack heard all around the world. I mean, it broke the internet, and immediately you heard and you saw a lot of women saying, that's right, I want my man to defend me. And, you know, I love the whole idea of having a man defend me in the right settings, but over a joke, over words, what, again, is the message that we're sending here? This is an agent who's now put into people's minds that over a joke, some people now have gotten, who are comedians, have experienced people coming on stage and smacking them, whether you believe that it was merited or not, but it's trends.
There was a comedian that was making fun of someone's baby, and the guy went up there and cracked him.
Yeah.
You know, I saw something like that. Yeah. Here, let's go to here. Schneider's talking about leaving California, I guess.
What point do you say, I'm out of here?
Well, that's why I never got married. The thought of homeless people fingering my wife would have just driven me.
Well,
up
you know,
wall.
First of all, maybe I'm looking at this all wrong. Maybe no, it's not. No, the homeless. We're either having a huge homeless problem or a gigantic camping success story. We have to look at it both ways. You know, I moved to Arizona. I couldn't take this. I don't know how you guys do it. How much more can California take? It's like you got homeless people on the lawn. Do you have to have them move into your house, finger your wife? At what point do you say, I'm out of here?
Well, that's why I never got married. It's because the thought of homeless people fingering my wife would have just driven me.
Well, you know, first of all, maybe I'm looking at this all wrong.
No,
it's not. No, the homeless. We're either having a huge homeless problem or a gigantic camping success story. We have to look at it both ways.
I really like that, Rob Schneider's. Go ahead.
There's a lot of camping success stories that are popping up in a city near you.
Yeah. Oh no, I saw it. I was in San Antonio. And Austin was the worst for a while. Austin was the absolute worst. But, you know, you got to think, when the cleanup happens, when the cleanup comes, because it's coming, let me tell you, folks, where are these people going to go? I have my theory on that. I think there's going to be camps for them, literally, to take them out of the city, because there's going to be a massive, massive cleanup that's coming when Mr. T gets in. And I think these Democrats, such as Bill Maher, other people, very soon, I was just on with Jim Willie talking about this, and it's on ninoscorner.tv. We talked about it in depth, actually. They're going to be trying to leave the country. They're going to be trying to get the hell out of here when they see that when the reality finally hits them, that they cannot run and they cannot hide, they're in trouble. They're going to at least try to get out of the country. I'm telling you, folks, it's coming. And I think it's going to start coming within 5 to 8 months.
Wasn't there a rumor years ago that Nancy Pelosi tried to do that with her family members? That's just a rumor. I didn't confirm, but I remember her trying to take a plane and Donald Trump stopped her.
I heard that. But see, right now, it's starting to creep into their minds that they're in trouble, especially what we just saw in that debate. This is coming. It's like a shark. It's like a shark fin coming out of the water, and they see it, and they're all saying, we can swim faster than the shark. Even the shark going half speed or a quarter speed is faster than a human. And the shark's just coming. It's just coming. It's letting them see him. I'm telling you right now, folks. I'm telling you right now, you're going to be seeing a lot of these people trying to get out of the country. I'm telling you right now, you're going to be seeing people that we just played on here trying to go. What's coming is going to be crazy. Rosangel, I always love having you on. You're such an interesting co-host, whatever. Thank you for joining me. Where can people find you?
Hello, everyone. You can find me on Cafecito Break and on Twitter Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. We're hosting an Next Space, which we've coined a therapy group from people who have been abused by the government.
Beautiful. All right. Thank you, Rosangel. Let's do that. Okay, folks, the next one's going to be Lady Gaga. This is going to be big. This one's going to be, we're going to go in depth on Lady Gaga. It's going to be pretty dark. I've been looking into this quite a bit, and man, I have no doubts in my mind. I have no doubts in my mind where she got her act and what probably happened. So, all right, folks, see you next time. Thank you, Rose Angel.